Identifying the mechanisms that underlie patterns of species diversity is a fundamental problem in ecology. More than 25 hypotheses have been proposed to explain regional or latitudinal gradients of species diversity, and they fall into four broad groups: spatial area or habitat heterogeneity, energy or climate, historical or evolutionary time, and biotic factors. However, some mechanisms which may explain gradients of diversity on a larger scale have failed to explain diversity at smaller spatial scales. Disturbance is an event that disrupts community structure and changes the physical environment or available resources. And it can explain why species coexist and patterns of species diversity, often because it resets local successional trajectories. The intermediate disturbance hypothesis, or the IDH, states that species diversity is maximized in communities experiencing intermediate disturbance regimes or communities at an intermediate stage of development. This is because species show a trade-off between competitive and colonization abilities. So in intermediate communities, dominant species are suppressed, which facilitates colonization by less competitive species. We tested whether biodiversity of orb-weaving spiders was highest in communities at an intermediate stage of development. Orb-weaving spiders are an ideal taxon to test the IDH because they are relatively abundant and sedentary as adults. Our study area was approximately 3 hectares, and it was broken up into 6 half-hectare fields. Each field is cropped with either soybeans or corn once every 6 years. After fall harvest, the crop section is disced, and then it's allowed to undergo succession for the following 5 years, allowing prairie plants to establish. And you can see in the aerial photograph on the right that there is a gradient of vegetation kind of from left to right here. And these numbers indicate the amount of time since cropping. So this picture is in early spring, so field 0 here is the field that will be cropped during the current growing season. Field 1 had been cropped the previous growing season, and so on across this gradient. Field 5 then is the one that will be cropped the next season, so it's cyclical succession. At this study site, we sampled vegetation and spiders 5 times, twice during 2006 and 3 times during 2007. We assessed diurnal orb weavers by counting spiders within 25 quadrats per field per sampling period. We assessed nocturnal orb weavers shortly after sunset by holding a 1-meter pole, walking the length of each field, and counting spiders within the 1-meter width. We collected the spiders, preserved them in ethyl alcohol, and identified them as species. From this, we were able to measure species richness, species diversity, and species evenness. We assessed ground cover of plants in all fields using the quadrats that we had used to assess the diurnal spiders. We classified plants into functional groups, and we did this instead of identifying plants to species because orb-weaving spiders should be affected more by characteristic architecture of these groups rather than species per se. And a few examples of our groups include grasses, legumes, perennial forbs, annual forbs, and etc. So what did we find? In 2006, we caught 470 spiders, and individuals of Argiope trifasciata, Cyclosa turbinata, and Neoscona arabesca were the 3 dominant species. In 2007, we caught 412 spiders, and individuals of the same 3 species were abundant. So the next 3 graphs I will show you are all structured very similarly. You'll note down here on the x-axis, this is years since the last disturbance. On the y-axis will be the measure of diversity. In this case, it's species richness. The one other important thing to note is that in order for the IDH to be supported, there should be a peak somewhere in the middle of the graph, so around, you know, year 2, 3, or 4 post-disturbance. And at either extremes of the gradient, so at year 1 and year 5, that should be significantly lower. You can see here in this graph that species richness kind of shows some of that pattern where it peaks in the middle, it's lower in field one, but we don't have diversity tailing off in the later successional areas. For mean diversity, we found that diversity was relatively low 1 year post-disturbance, but then it was high across our other fields. And mean evenness, again, was low in the first field, and then it peaked in years 2, 4, and 5 post-disturbance. So overall, the IDH was not supported by our results. And this begs the question, why not? This is extremely difficult to answer, and it could be due to multiple factors, one of which is that perhaps the spiders are not competing with one another. Competition must occur in order for the IDH to operate, so that in late successional communities, dominant species move in, increase in population size, and competitively exclude inferior species. However, from the graphs that I showed you, you can see that diversity and evenness and richness all tend to increase in late successional areas. And this could be due to the architecture of the habitat, that there's spatial refuges that are being provided so that the spiders aren't coming into direct competition. And I'll come back to habitat in a little bit. Another reason could be due to the mobility of spiders. Mobile organisms at higher trophic levels tend to not display IDH patterns. If you remember, I said that we chose orb-weaving spiders because they're relatively sedentary as adults. However, they do disperse as spiderlings. So given that they move around quite a bit, they could recolonize disturbed fields. And you also remember that our fields were in proximity with one another, so they could move among the fields rather easily. Another possibility is that late successional or climax communities may never become established where cyclical succession is rapid. So what we're considering late successional communities could in fact be intermediate communities. And last could be this idea that the spiders have particular habitat preferences. So if you remember, we assess vegetative cover, and I'm not going to show the statistical results, but if you look at this figure here, it shows you how the vegetation changes over time. So we start off with corn or soybeans here on the left. After prairie plants establish, you have grasses, legumes, and annual forbs being abundant. These are replaced over time by perennial forbs, so that in late successional areas, we pretty much only had perennial plants. And at our field sites, this was goldenrod. In this figure, you'll notice on the x-axis is coverage of perennials. On the y-axis is the evenness. And there is a positive correlation between the two, so that as you're increasing the coverage of perennials, you're increasing evenness. And similarly, as we increase the coverage of perennials, diversity increases. So since there is a correlation between perennial forbs and spiders, we might find spiders in late successional areas because coverage of perennials is not highest in fields at an intermediate stage of development. You'll notice from this figure that it's higher in these late successional areas. So in summary, our results did not support the IDH. Biodiversity tends to be maximized in late successional areas, and this could be due to the correlation with perennials. In 2007, we found that about 87% of the plants that spiders use as substrate were in fact perennials. And this was true even in fields that did not have a high cover of perennials. And while our results did not support the IDH, they may in fact support the habitat heterogeneity hypothesis, which assumes that late successional areas are more architecturally complex, which provide refuges for more species because there's more niche diversity. And with that, I would like to thank all of you for being here, and I have a couple minutes for questions.